The second reading is also the sermon text for today. For the next few weeks, we'll be reading from the book of Ephesians, which is Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, and I'll be preaching on his words inspired by the Holy Spirit to that church. This is what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. Praise be the maker of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Before the world began, God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless and to be full of love. God likewise predestined us through Christ Jesus to be adopted children. Such was God's pleasure and will, that everyone might praise the glory of God's grace, which was freely bestowed upon us in God's beloved, Jesus Christ. It is in Christ and through the blood of Christ that we have been redeemed and our sins forgiven. So immeasurably generous is God's favor given to us with perfect wisdom and understanding. God has taken pleasure in revealing the mystery of the plan through Christ to be carried out in the fullness of time, namely, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together in Christ. In Christ, we were willed an inheritance, for in the decree of God, and everything is administered according to the divine will and counsel, we were predestined to praise the glory of the Most High by being the first to hope in Christ. In Christ, you too were chosen. When you heard the good news of salvation, the word of truth, and believed in it, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the pledge of our inheritance, the deposit paid against the full redemption of a people who are God's own, to the praise of God's glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's good to be back in Calvary. We got back just a couple of days ago from driving down to Texas and back for my parents' memorial service. Many thanks for all those who prayed for our safe journey and also prayed for us during this rather emotional time. They had passed away at the beginning of the pandemic, and this was the first opportunity that we had to really gather and remember and honor them. Our return was delayed by a few days, because while we were down there, we got word that those who arrived after July 5th and were fully vaccinated would not have to do the 14-day quarantine. And so we delayed so that we made sure we came back after that. And sure enough, I'm here preaching from the sanctuary in Lutheran Church of the Cross and not from the quarantine of our basement. It also opens up the possibility that we can gather in person. And if you're paying attention to the announcements before worship, you would see that we're going to have in-person worship next Sunday, July 18th. Our strong recommendation is that only those that are fully vaccinated attend. And there are some restrictions. We'll go ahead and be masked and practice social distancing and a few other things like that. But it is so exciting to start gathering once again in person. So on to today's text. As I mentioned before, we're going to be reading and I'm going to be preaching on the book of Ephesians. So just a little bit about Ephesus. Ephesus was a thriving port in the Roman Empire on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea. It's in modern-day Turkey. And at its time, it was one of the most important cities and most important trading centers in the Mediterranean region. Just a couple of things of note about Ephesus, one of the seven wonders of the world. I'm not going to name all seven, but there was one that was there in Ephesus, or right outside the city. It was a temple of Artemis. Artemis was the god of fertility. And so it was a huge temple. It was eventually destroyed and dismantled. There's still a few remnants of it there for those who might have visited Ephesus. But also, one of the things that was going on is that there was a thriving sale or business in little statues of Artemis. And not only were they just a remembrance or like a souvenir, But they really were seen as being one of the ways then to ingratiate oneself with that God of the harvest for not only good life, but also many children and good crops. And so Temple of Artemis had a huge impact on the religion of that area, but also the economy, because the sale of those statues was a very big business, and that's why a lot of folks came to Ephesus. And then additionally, they, of course, being part of the Roman Empire, the Roman presence was very strong there, and it was very clear who politically was in control. So to this church, this small church there in Ephesus, this is one that on Paul's second journey, it's called his second missionary journey, when visited there, and there were already some disciples there, and began preaching in the synagogue, and then later on just to all Jews and Greeks there, that anyone who would listen. He was there for about 2 years, and it was to this small minority of Christians, as they call themselves, the followers of the way, that Paul writes. And it's really all about who God is and what God has done. I'm just going to pay attention to the verbs that it used to describe God. Praise be the maker of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ, who chose us in Christ, who predestined us or preordained us through Christ to be adopted children, and who bestowed upon us in God's beloved Jesus Christ, bestowed grace. These are action words. It's all about what God has done. What God has done through Jesus Christ to reveal what God is up to in the world. And what is God up to in the world? It says that God has taken pleasure in revealing the mystery of the plan through Christ. What's the mystery of the plan? A mystery of God's plan. It is to bring all things together in Christ. So to this small group of folks who were in a context where there was lots of things working against them, where the majority of the folks, the plurality of folks, were worshiping Artemis and focused on making money and or making it up in the Roman Empire, to this small group of Christians, he said, you are in on what God is up to in the world through Jesus. You are in on it. And this whole thing, it's all that God has done, is in the context of God's grace and especially God's love. It's an invitation to these people to live the life of love as exemplified in Jesus Christ. And much of what we hear, or what we will hear in the rest of Paul's letter to Ephesus, in Ephesians, is then kind of what further implications of this love and of this grace of God made real in Jesus, but also what it looks like then to be part of God's plan, God's intention in the world, then to bring everyone together through love and through grace. Grace and love are beautiful words. We use them all the time here. And grace and love is what the church in Ephesus, those disciples, those followers of the way, were living out. And it's hard to imagine why people would get upset about people that are loving. But in that place, things were happening. In Ephesus, things were happening. Not because the Christians were so numerous that they now ruled the town and could impose their religion on others and kind of change things drastically. No, what was happening is because of the way they loved each other, because of the way they lived lives of service, because of the grace that they exuded because of the revelation of God's love for them, because of the freedom that gave them to truly live, then it was so attractive to others that they started wanting to be a part of it. They saw it. They were excited about it. It was so attractive. that focus began to turn toward Jesus and away from Artemis, away from this whole economy, really, that had been set up as far as selling these idols and keeping people in fear and offering sacrifices and all of that. Instead, the people were invited to a way of love and a way of freedom. This is the group that Paul was writing to. Now, later on in the history of the church, especially after Constantine, Christians actually become the dominant religion. And all of a sudden, those things, it was there. The church was able to force or coerce, as if you could force or coerce faith. But it tried. But that is not what was happening in Ephesus at this time. It was people living out their faith, living out their love. And that was bringing folks together and creating this kingdom of God on earth that was so attractive. On Father's Day, just a few weeks ago, I gave a eulogy for my parents at St. Martin's Lutheran in downtown Austin. In that eulogy, I use words like love and service, kindness, integrity, faith. They were true of my parents, and I honored and acknowledged them for what they provided for me. But I was also so clear, and this was affirmed by the folks that I talked to afterwards, how the difference that my parents had made in their lives. How they never spoke a bad word about, an unkind word about anyone. It was that difference that brought those people together for the memorial service. And it's that difference, which is the legacy, I think, that I know that my parents leave on all whose lives they touched. As a Lutheran pastor, I've had the opportunity, the privilege and honor to officiate at many, many funerals. And so often, these Christian siblings that have gone on before us, the words that I hear about them and the words that I get to use and reflect as far as describing them are words of love and service and kindness and integrity and the difference that they made in the world. This is what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian is to be a reflection of God's love. As we read through Ephesians, really the whole book is just digging into and mining the depth of that love and then inviting people to reflect that, to respond to it, to have that knowledge, that awareness. As Paul says, when you heard the good news of salvation, the word of truth, and believed that you were sealed in the promised Holy Spirit, and as you lived out your life, then you claim that inheritance. To be a Christian is to choose to follow Jesus, who exemplified a way of love. And we are called and ordained, predestined is the word that's used here, into that life of love and service for the world. It looks like it is part of God's mysterious plan to bring all things together in Christ. To be breaking down the barriers that would separate us, breaking down the barriers that fear creates in order to build bridges, to knock them down, and have love abound. And it's a life of service to the world. But of course, the real word that captures what it means to be a Christian is the word love. As members of this congregation, I am so thankful for the founders of this congregation, of this Lutheran congregation, who chose the name Church of the Cross. Church of the Cross, to identify this Lutheran congregation. Because it points right to the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus where God came down, And God offered to the world love. Love, acceptance, grace. We are part of that inheritance. We are part of God's plan to share that love and grace and make it real in the world. Amen.